In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Kenneth Stevenson, a former Bishop of Portsmouth, observed how John the Baptist can be a somewhat daunting figure. Both in art and literature, the adult John is presented as fierce, rough, ready, and uncompromising. Two simple details of clothing and diet tell us much. He wears camel hair and eats locusts and wild honey. In seeking to understand what sort of a person does this and why, we find ourselves relating him to and comparing him with Jesus. The readings for the feast of John's birth indicate an impeccable clerical background on which he turns his back in order to go out into the wilderness to preach a baptism of repentance and to announce the coming one. Jesus, on the other hand, at least until he is baptized by John, appears on the surface to be no more or less than an example of Jewish piety and quietude. John's life then comes to us as a three-act play. Firstly, his conception and birth. Secondly, his preaching, baptism of Jesus, and subsequent eclipse by Jesus' public ministry. And thirdly, his beheading. All four Gospels allude to John's life and ministry as both foundational and preparatory to that which follows in Jesus. And Jesus himself makes the point that you can hardly exaggerate the significance of John, whose voice cries out down the centuries from the turning point of salvation history. Once again, it is Luke who gives us the fullest portrait. He tells us of the annunciation of John's birth to his father in the temple, the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth, the birth itself, and the exceptional naming of John by his father, followed by the prayer we know as the Benedictus. The whole section ends with the telling verse that the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. All of which is grist to Luke's mill, which is to stress that the forerunner of the Lord was born according to God's plan, and that he did not simply stumble into a way of life which took him into the wilderness. An angel therefore announces his birth to Zechariah, who, unlike Mary, the mother of Jesus, does not have such a trusting faith and is therefore rendered dumb until after John's birth. In spite of this, John leaps in the womb as he recognizes the voice of the mother of his Lord. And then, when he is born, he is given a name quite different from any name known in the family. People began to wonder what on earth he would be like. And it's significant, too, that Zechariah's prayer comes after Mary's. Mary can sing of the glories of the Lord before her child has even been born. But Zechariah has to wait until after the birth, until after he has seen the awesome reaction of his neighbours to this infant, born of an aged mother and given a name unprecedented in his lineage. This feast has been kept in East and West for a very long time indeed, at least since the second half of the 4th century. Augustine used to call it the Great Day, and it came to be celebrated in the baptistry of St. John Lateran, Rome's cathedral. Now, this is significant because the font is where we are reborn. Wash, die and rise with Christ. John's is a whole life given over to a single purpose. And he becomes the first martyr of the new dispensation. Saints are those, said Dag Hammarskjöld, who can will the one thing. Herbert O'Driscoll writes of the way in which John differed from many who took the choice of solitary desert life in his own time, and the ways in which he differs from those who make that choice today, because he retained a deep commitment to the society he had left. Rob Bell, writing in the Church Times recently, made the observation that radicals are not people who just wander off into the long grass. The Latin word for radical is radix, which means root, and true radicals are those who return to the origins. Convinced that the world as he knew it was on the verge of enormous change, John reached for an ancient image in his culture that he knew would be familiar to everyone. Change would come, he said, only through a person, someone who would be known as the Messiah. And so, moving in from the deeper wilderness to the Jordan Valley, John decided to address his society in this harsh and lonely area, rather than going to Jerusalem, where he could have been guaranteed a vast audience. And the wisdom of John's choice lay in his decision to force the people of Jerusalem to come to him, rather than he go to them. And gradually, they began to come. Ones or twos, a trickle, a group, eventually turning into crowds as he succeeded in getting the ear of the people. Now, down the centuries, many Jeremiahs had preached a threatening message, but John offered a blueprint for a better one. From the desert, they could look at their own society from the outside. They could gain critical height and see the world the way God sees it, and see for themselves the need for change. Separated from their daily comforts and networks of support, John ritualized this shift by inviting them to repentance, removing their outer clothes, stepping into the river, trusting themselves to God, and falling back under the water, disappearing from sight, then struggling to their feet again. It was a gesture of radical trust and commitment to God's future. But it was just at this point that John's greatness truly shows. He adamantly refuses to become the center of his own movement, and at every opportunity points beyond himself, until the day when his cousin steps out from the crowd, slips into the water, and invites John to baptize him. And this is the moment for which John was born. The fulfillment of his own claim to irrelevance comes when he says, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he, but after me is coming one, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie." Among those born of women, no one is greater than John. Lord of light, who sent the Baptist to offer hope and face the world's scorn, open our ears to hear the cries from the margin, exposing our fears, inciting our vision, and calling us to a step of faith through Jesus Christ, who has come, who does come, and who will come again. Amen.